Stephen Roach once said, "My fear for the last several years is that what started out as a trade war will turn into a tech war and then eventually morph into a Cold War." Keep this in mind as we discuss today how the United States suddenly is quadrupling its troops in Taiwan, and what does it mean for the future security landscape, not only in Asia, but also a global one. My name is Dr. David Wararu.
And my name is Dr. Ross Stewart.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Company.
Taiwan's president Tsai Ing-wen has announced that all men will be required to serve 1 year's military service.
Overnight, we learned the U.S. is quadrupling its number of troops in Taiwan as fears grow that China is planning to invade the island, and that has been a concern we've been watching.
Taiwan's president Tsai Ing-wen has said Taipei will boost military exchanges with the United States.
Rising threat by China against Taiwan, with the United States sending four times the amount of troops.
It's perhaps never been more important to ask, how do I differentiate between facts and fiction? Why and how some elites and wealthiest individuals in the world seem to know what's coming before it happens? The short answer is they create the circumstances in their favor. They also know how to read the world stage, spot the patterns, and learn from trends. They focus on key information and do not get lost in information overload. They focus on what's important and avoid wasting time and energy on irrelevant issues. And above all, they all know how to implement the information they acquire to achieve their goals. We offer a course, No Nonsense Politics, that teaches you to think critically and use the information to achieve your goals, whatever they may be. So, if you want to get ahead, be the master of your own destiny, and reach your goals, as well as having an online community of people who think for themselves just like you, check out the link in the description box below.
David, I've got a really good one.
Sure.
Okay.
Go for it.
Karine Jean-Pierre, President Biden's press secretary, said, in keeping with President Biden's One China policy, we are quadrupling American troops on Taiwan, on the island.
Yeah, so.
I'm going, is anyone listening to or helping this woman figure out what to say?
Yeah, well, that's.
Here, out of this side, out of this side. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that shows you right there, Roz, what we say versus what we do.
Yeah.
And usually it's not a laughing matter. Because usually this is where you really, really put a nail on your credibility on the global stage. And that's what we have been seeing from not just this administration, but even before that and before the one before it and so forth.
You know, one of the things we're dedicated to is trends, patterns, and using that to predict where things are going. And, you know, we've seen any number of pieces of this puzzle being put together in terms of how about nuclear submarines for Australia? How about, and this goes on and on and on, about all these pieces pointing in the direction, now we have more American soldiers on Taiwan Island.
Yeah, and how about the proxy war in Philippines? And how about dragging Japan? And how about dragging South Korea? You know, that just shows you where things are. And
yes, all these pieces is telling us where it's going.
Yeah. Well, exactly, because now with quadrupling the troops here, I know it's not like in thousands and so forth, but still, when you quadruple a number, doesn't matter how small it is, it's not a good sign. And because what I found out, Ross, is that even President Tsai, she said that she's vowed to strengthen military ties with the United States. So you start to wonder now, is she part of the plan? You know, do Taiwanese people really see what's going on in Ukraine? Because who's fomenting the tensions in Ukraine?
We know who it is.
Yeah, it's NATO and the U.S.
It's the proxy war,
United
States versus Russia.
Exactly.
And, you know, you keep asking the question, who benefits first? And we know who benefits.
Yeah.
The second is, who pays the price for these endless wars in monetary terms and in lives lost?
Exactly. Well, the U.S. argument is that it has a concerns
over China's growing relations with Russia. Well, like, hold on a second. Hold on a second, you know. Isn't China a sovereign state? Isn't Russia a sovereign state? Isn't whatever country a sovereign state? So they can develop relations with whomever they want. You know, that's to me the logical argument.
Right.
So why would the U.S. be concerned over China's relations with Russia? Second thing is that shouldn't the United States be asking itself that, oh, gee, aren't we the one who created this scenario to begin with?
Every time we bring this up, we keep looking at follow the money.
Yeah.
And who really makes out almost at criminal levels in terms of these endless wars? Well, it isn't we, the American people.
Yeah.
I don't feel protected from the war in Ukraine. I don't feel protected and taken care of from this ongoing tension with Taiwan.
Yeah. And second thing is, for example, in the case of Ukraine, how is that benefiting the American people? Us?
Well, I think it's doing just the opposite.
Yeah. So the Taiwan one will be even worse. I can guarantee you that.
I can hardly imagine a bigger tragedy than what's going on in the Ukraine, but I know it can be worse.
Yeah. And this is why you start to put the question mark on the rationale and the sort of the pragmatism of because that's a foreign policy decision. Because military actions are part or a tool in the foreign policy toolbox. You know, that's usually how our foreign policy is structured. Usually, and I teach government,
yeah,
you know, in college. So I always explain to the students, you have to understand what are the elements of American foreign policy. Military aspects of it is one of the pillars of American foreign policy. This here, by quadrupling the numbers in Taiwan as a part of a foreign policy, you can just see the lack of vision in structuring a foreign policy like this. Because the way I will interpret this, if I am to put my geopolitical analyst hat on, the way I will interpret this is that, conflicts on the horizon, because that's what it looks like and that's what it will be.
And how many times have we looked at what the consequence of any part of a hot war with China would look like?
Well, the scenarios that the Pentagon ran, 18 of them, out of the 18 scenarios, and we talked about this before,
right.
And I usually do not like to repeat myself too much here, but we did mention this one in one of the previous videos a couple months ago, that out of the 18 scenarios, 17 of them, the United States lost the war against China. and it's logical. When you think about it, first of all, logistically.
Right.
Yeah.
China's right there with
right
all
there.
Their resources.
We have to move
90 miles. Come on.
Exactly. And we have to move all our... Now you have the Philippines. That's why we are sort of pushing Philippines into accepting the modifications to the military bases over there, because basically we want to use the Philippines as a launching pad. And we all know what it means.
You know, we have $619 million worth of arms been approved to sell to Taiwan. Is that the United States respecting the one China position?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, it's troubling. It's troubling because, again, the United States government, sending a message to the rest of the world that, whatever we agree upon, don't hold us to it. It's just words.
Just hot air.
Yeah. And once your policy becomes just words, you lose credibility completely. No one will trust you. No one will want to even enter into an agreement with you.
How can they trust it when they see the United States government continually backing out of deals that they make?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Things that they say publicly.
And that's very problematic. We might be concerned now with this quadrupling the numbers in Taiwan. Like I always do, I look at the big picture.
Right.
I tie this to the recent trip by the NATO Secretary General to South Korea and Japan. I tie this to the last trip of the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, to Philippines, and try to, I won't say convince, but rather push the Marcos Jr.'s government to agree to the modification of the military bases there. You know, I tie this to literally with all these tensions that's going on around the world. And you will think, whomever is advising the president of the United States would say, sir, this is not a right course of action given what's going on right now, given the tensions in Ukraine that is escalating as we speak.
So what we have is a whole segment of our government which seems, in my mind, hopelessly naive. They deal in a world with no consequences.
Yeah, well, this is like an indication of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can you just imagine the consequences of this once you start having advanced weapons on Taiwanese soil?
Actually, I can imagine, yeah. And I don't like it. I'm appalled by the actions, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But there are other issues that because we can't just look at this quadrupling of the numbers just from a military perspective.
Right.
There's always other dimensions behind this. Well, one of them has to do with the tech war about the microchips between the United States and China. And that is not new. It has been going on since the trade war started, but now it's escalating to a level I never expected it.
Yeah.
And this is why the United States wants to take over the Chinese, the Taiwanese microchip company, TSMC, what do they call it?
Oh, I understand that they've brought chip manufacturing to Arizona and it's failed.
Because the cost. It will cost about $50 billion just to establish that.
Oh,
this is not some easy things to do.
Oh.
You have to have, first of all, the infrastructure for it, which we can afford, you know. But the challenge we have is we don't have enough scientists for that. That's the challenge.
Okay.
You know, how many scientists we produce a year here in the U.S.? Not much.
Well, we know what it is in China.
Yeah.
That 1 million a year.
Yeah. So wow. The technological competition is at the heart of this conflict between, could the United States just fueling more and more because we don't know what to do? And usually, as I always say, your indication for a falling empire is when you start to embark on irrational foreign policy, failed policies, or ill-conceived foreign policy.
You know, in our course, we do that whole chart of...
I remember that.
...of the rise and fall of empires.
Yeah.
And the American empire on the down curve, we're fitting it perfectly. And our course really goes into that in great detail.
Indeed, Ross. You know, and that begs the question for you to wonder about. Could China and the U.S. coexist peacefully?
My opinion is yes. But it looks like that is not
the
case.
Yeah.
Because China's in the upswing of the Chinese empire, and the United States is in the down curve of the end of the American
Empire.
It's
like empire. What we explain in the course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see this peaceful coexistence anytime soon.
This is kind of... Yeah, but...
what is it, Rob?
Yeah, no, you know, I wish it could happen.
I know.
But that, doesn't seem like that's in the cards for us.
Well, that's part of what, you know, if you look at, again, history, how important that is. Thucydides' trap. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Greek philosopher Thucydides, who argued about the Thucydides' trap, basically, when a rising power is challenging a sitting power, and the end of
there's conflict.
That's usually what I see happening.
Now, we're not seeing that now, are we? Yeah, right.
No. Could that sort of be exposed to an all-out war? I don't see that happening at this point, but the signs that I'm looking, the trends that I'm watching, when you start quadrupling your military personnel, when you start moving advanced weapon systems, you know, China's not going to just sit idle and watch. That's what I see the big concern. So the other concern, it has to do with the great power competition.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And we all know why the U.S. is upset now about China getting closer to Russia. Well, we created the circumstances. I argued in my Russia book a few years ago that, you know, if we are, and I recall this, if we are to persist on this policy, foreign policies that we are conducting, and that was back in 2018, 19,
yeah,
when I was doing the research. And I said to myself, if we are to be persisting on these failed policies, we are pushing Russia and China closer than ever before.
Good prediction.
And it is.
I mean, when Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin call themselves close personal friends, not only have a whole lot in common in terms of outlook in the world and common enemies, They have a personal relationship on top of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and now it's going to be even exacerbated. As a matter of fact, the Russians now are thinking in terms, and again, I won't be surprised that when the Russian President Vladimir Putin decided to suspend the cooperation regarding the START
treaty,
strategic arms reduction talks, it's because also he saw the sign when NATO is expanding in Asia. So remember, Japan and Russia have some tensions regarding the islands.
Oh, yeah.
Northern Japan. So, you put all this within the context and you see how problematic this will be. So, and this is the reason why we wanted to come on the air and share this with you, because what you're going to be hearing soon on Western media is that, you know, close cooperation between Taiwan and the United States.
And we can continue to expect a lot of negative comments from our government about the evils of China.
Yeah.
I mean, cut me a break.
Yeah.
You know, every war, I've seen this war after war after war, and it's the same pattern. Let's demonize the enemy, the enemy.
Whomever that enemy
who,
is.
Enemy du jour.
Yeah.
And influence people to think that they truly are evil. And it's absurd.
Yeah. And that becomes the responsibility of citizens to speak up.
Right.
Because to me, that's the whole idea of it. I mean, if you can voice your opinion, yes, I know we are not the government. We can't change the government. I mean, the hope is that some politicians in Washington, D.C. watching this video might make sense to him or her.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
But you
never know. So, but the whole reason why we wanted to bring this to your attention is to once you start reading the headlines, you will know what the background story is. Now, there are those who said, well, this has nothing to do with me. Wrong. It has to do everything with you. Doesn't matter what part of the world you are in, you will be impacted one way or another.
You know, from a psychological point of view,
These
things are going on, all these world events are going on in the background. So it doesn't affect me. No, it affects the entire culture. It affects the amount of stress that you're unconsciously experiencing. It affects your physical health. It affects your economic health. And it impacts your family.
Indeed.
Whether you're aware of it or not, it is happening.
That's true. And that is why we wanted to bring this up. We're going to be talking about this topic even further in more detail on a live stream, which, by the way, we're going to be having every Friday at 1100 hours Central Standard Time. That's what Elizabeth told me to say. So, anything to add, Ross, before we close this out?
I think we've pretty well done it.
Okay, well, we hope to see you during the live stream as down next few days. So, in any event, I hope you find this very informative. And as always, prepare yourself for changing world order. Till next time, guys. Bye-bye.